Andrea Rasco is our Olympics. It's 5 days of the best we can offer. We have the best thoroughbreds, the best track. When you start off the season thinking what we're going to aim for Royal Ascot, because that's all the owners want, that's what the public wants, and that's what we want.
Even people that don't know anything about racing, they know about Royal Ascot because of the tradition of dressing up, and this is what it's all about.
Inspiral has come sweeping through to snatch the lead.
The atmosphere at the big occasion, it elevates you to be a better jockey, and you're more alert, more adrenaline's kicking in. It's a bit of fun, people enjoy it. It just adds a little bit of touch of doing it. Working in now, it will be tough, for sure I will cry. I'm not even going to pretend that I'm not going to. I've loved every second of it.
Hello, welcome to New Trends Racing, the Just For New podcast, where today I'm going to be going through Royal Ascot Day 1 preview. Starting with the 2:30, the Queen Anne Stakes, which is a Group 1 over a mile, where the betting reads Rosalian 11-4, Lead Artist 5-1, Notable Speech 6-1, Dancing Gemini 6-1, Sardinian Warrior 13-2, Diego Velasquez 12-1, Lake Forest 14-1, Carl Spackler 20-1, Docklands 28-1, Coudoir 28-1, and Cairo 100-1. So starting with some stats and trends for the Queen Anne. 9 of the last 12 winners were aged 4. 9 of the last 12 winners were in the top 3 of the betting. 9 of the last 12 winners had ran within the last 38 days. 8 of the last 12 winners have had a run at Ascot. 7 of those 8 have won at Ascot. 9 of the last 12 winners were rated higher than 112. And the one that I think is the most important is, I think you're looking for a draw above 7. So a high draw, I think, favours horses on the straight mile. Well, it has done over the last 12 years. And starting with my strongest bet of day one here would be Rosalian. Fits all those stats and trends that I've just gone through. Was beaten in the Lockinge, but going back on last season, he was beaten on his first run last season in the 2000 Guineas. And I think there's every reason to believe that he's going to come on for that run, and he's going to reverse that form of the Lockinge with Lead Artist. I've sort of left it late, really, on Rosalian with regards to price-wise, but mainly because I wanted to see the draw, and I just wanted to see all the boxes ticked, really, and I think those boxes are ticked now. I think he's got his ground. He's got a perfect draw in 10. He should come on for that first run. He's got the course and distance form, albeit the course that he was on last year was the St. James Palace course where they run around the bend, whereas this year is going to be on the straight mile. I don't see that making too much of a difference, really. I think he's all the boxes are ticked, and I think Rosalian is going to take some stopping. There is one other that fitted all the stats and trends of the race, which is a nice each way price. Lake Forest for William Haggis. That ticked a lot of the boxes. It's got a good draw in 9 next to Rosalian. It's got form on good to firm. That would be the one I'd play at an each way price, but in all essence, Rosalian is the one to beat here. Moving on to the 3:05, which is the Coventry Stakes, which is a Group 2 over 6 furlongs, where the betting reads Justard 9-2, Postmodern 9-2, Military Code 11-2, Warsaw 8-1, American Gulf 10-1, Underwriter 12-1, Andarb 14-1, Rock on Thunder 14 to 1, Power Blue 16 to 1, Bone Mara 25 to 1, and 40 to 1 bigger the rest. Going through a couple of stats and trends for the Coventry, from a draw perspective, I think anything above 15 and a high draw is favourable. There's only two stats and trends that I've got for the Coventry, really, which is 10 of the last 12 winners had won last time out, and 10 of the last 12 had ran within the last 32 days. Going through those stats and trends with regards to draw and those two mentioned, the four that have come out on top are the favourite, G-Starred, Postmodern, Military Code, and Underwriter. Personally, I find it hard to split the four of them, if I'm honest. I don't really have a strong opinion on the race, because two-year-olds, they can improve from run to run. But if you was to be going on numbers, I think the favourite is the right favourite. And no surprise to see it's AP O'Brien and Ryan Moore. If you were looking for some value, I'd probably be looking at Underwriter. He's the one at a big each way price, 12 to 1. I think you could give a slight negative to Military Code, is that both of his wins have come over 5 furlongs. So he's going to be stepping up to 6, whereas the other three have all been running over 6 furlongs. But Military Code has posted some good numbers over 5 furlongs. And he also handles ground conditions. I haven't really put my finger on one at the moment, but those are the four that I'd be keeping in mind at the moment. And I would suggest that nearer the time, the money will probably lead you to the one that they think is going to go closest. But I would expect that probably to be G-Starred. I think the money will probably come given connections. But the two Wafnan Racing horses, Postmodern and Underwriter, they're definitely ones to keep in mind, especially Underwriter. Especially given Archie Watson's record in the race. He won it a couple of years ago with Bradsell, and he's had a couple of near misses as well. At the prices, Underwriter is definitely one that's got my attention. But it'd be nice to see some market support for him on the day. But yeah, moving on to the 340, the King Charles III Stakes, which is a group one over 5 furlongs, where the betting reads Asphora 9-2, Believing 9-2, Regional 7-1, Night Raider 15-2, Magira 9-1, Starlust 14-1, American Affair 18-1, West Acre 20-1, Bucanero Fuerte 25-1, Tropical Storm 28-1, Rumstar 28-1, Balmoral Lady 33-1, Asterius 33-1, Primark 33-1, Jasur 33-1, and 50-1 bigger the rest. A few stats and trends for the King Charles III Stakes. Looking at a favourable draw perspective, I think you're looking 11 plus and a high draw. From an age perspective, 8 of the last 12 winners have been aged between 4 to 6. 9 of the last 12 winners have been in the top 3 in the betting. 9 of the last 12 have ran within the last 66 days. 11 of the last 12 winners have had 4 previous wins on the flat. And 11 of the last 12 winners have been rated 112 or higher. I managed to narrow this down to 2. But the one that's really caught my eye is Starlust for Ralph Beckett. Russell Ryan taking the ride. So with Stylehurst, he's won over the distance. He's got a perfect draw in 14. He fits the age criteria between 4 to 6. He's slightly just out of the top three in the betting. He's run within the last 66 days. He's had the four previous wins and he's rated above 112. So I think with the top few in the market, there were just negatives I had there with Asphora. Believing was the draw. I don't like that draw in one for Believing. So I drew a line through that. Night Raider, I drew a line through that because of the draw. Same with Magira. What was it? Asphora. There was a negative for Asphora, which was oh, that was it, yeah. That's the draw. It's drew under 11. So it was a negative on the draw for Asphora. It sort of led me to Stylehurst, who's one I think is gonna totally relish the quick ground. The quicker that ground goes, the better it's gonna be for Stylehurst. It's got the distance form. So had a couple of runs at Ascot. I think the only slight negative for Stylehurst would be the trainer form with Ralph Beckett. He's not really been setting the world alight at present. But I still like Stylehurst. The other one, which is closer to the top of the betting, which the only negative for this one would be the age. That's regional. Slightly out of the age bracket between 4 to 6 with being a 7-year-old. But I think I'd be inclined to probably play the two. The regional's got that run from last year. He's got the perfect draw in 17. The ground in his favour. Yard are going well. So he was beaten a length in this last year, regional. Comes back this year. He's got a good draw again. Ground's in his favour. Regional. I'd probably play regional and I'd probably play Stylehurst as a saver. They would be my two against the field. Moving on to the 4:20, the St. James's Palace Stakes, the Group 1 over 7 furlongs, 213 yards, where the betting reads Field of Gold 4-5, Ruling Court 10-3, Henry Matisse 7-2, Rashabar 28-1, Officer 50-1, Windlord 80-1, First Wave 125-1. So a couple of key stats and trends that I had for the St. James Palace Stakes was high draw. 10 of the last 12 winners had run in the last 26 days. 9 of the last 12 winners were rated higher than 110. 8 of the last 12 winners had won a Group 1. 9 of the last 12 winners had won a group race between 1 and 3. 12 of the last 12 winners had won once that season. And no surprise to see that Field of Gold has fitted all those stats and trends. I think this is probably pretty much everybody's banker of day one. And I don't see this horse getting beat. It's got a perfect draw in five. I think the only thing that's going to get Field of Gold beat is bad luck or the jockey. But Field of Gold runs to form. Field of Gold will win. It's got the ground, got the draw. As long as he handles the course, I don't see him beat. And I see him winning. He's a short enough price. He'd probably be the first horse that'd go into an accumulator. But I'd see no point in taking Field of Gold on. And it'd be Field of Gold for me in the St. James's Palace Stakes. Moving on to the 5 o'clock, where it starts to get a bit more interesting with a few handicaps. So 5 o'clock, we've got the Ascot Stakes, which is a class two handicap over 2 miles, 3 furlongs, where the betting reads Reaching High 4-1, East India Dock 5-1, Pony Ross 5-1, Manx Man 11-1, Alphonse Legrand 11-1, Nürburgring 12-1, Mr. Hampstead 18-1, Liari 20-1, Ascending 20-1, Leinster 20-1, Zoffy 20-1, Dawn Rising 25-1, Divine Comedy 25-1, Comfort Zone 25-1, 28-1 bigger the rest. So firstly, going through a few stats and trends for the Ascot Stakes. So 8 of the last 12 winners were aged between 5 and 7. Favourites don't have a good record in this race. 9 of the last 12 winners were rated higher than 91. 9 of the last 12 winners had at least 2 runs this season. And 10 of the last 12 winners had ran in the last 52 days. In these 3 handicaps on day one, I wouldn't say I've got strong selections. They're more tentative selections. But I'm going to be playing at big prices. Favourites don't have a good record in the race anyway, so there's plenty of negatives to be had with Reaching High, East India Dark, Pony Ross. The two that I've come down on in this, first of all, it's probably one of my cliff horses over the jumps. But yeah, he's just a horse that always catches my eye. And in this, I just couldn't let him go unbacked, which is Liari. Liari. He's moved from Paul Nichols to Michael Bell. And he's had one run at Newmarket, which was over 1.6 miles. And he's bolted up by 5 lengths. I think he'll stay this distance. I think ground wise, Liari fits all those stats and trends. He's got his ground. I think the only question mark he's got really is the distance. Michael Bell's in good form. Kieran Schumacher retains the ride. That's probably my more tentative selection. My stronger selection would be Divine Comedy, who finished second in this race last year and is only £2 higher this year round. I think the trainer, who's in tremendous form at the moment, I think they've been working back from last year back to this race again. He hasn't really been up to much, but he retains the good form at Ascot, where he's finished third in a Group 3 race behind Yashin in the Sagaro, which is another tick, another decent run at the course. He's only beaten 2.25 lengths. He's got his ground conditions good to firm. He's been dropped £2 from that Sagaro run, back on a mark of 199. The trainer, Harry Eustace, So he's had two winners from 17 in the last 14 days. Generally, his horses are 71% running to form. So yeah, the yard are going pretty well. David Probert takes a ride. And at 25-1, he's going to be the one that I'll be playing as a tentative selection, and 20-1 on Liari. They would be my two against the field. In all fairness, you know, it's a 20 runner handicap. It's competitive. I suppose the obvious one would be Reaching High, running for the King, trained by Willie Mullins, Ryan Moore. To be honest, I just can't have it. I can't have that. There's so many holes you can pick in it. It wouldn't be for me. I think Divine Comedy gives you that tried and tested already. And I definitely think that trainer, Harry Eustace, has been working back from last year. But yeah, moving on to the 5:35, which is the Wolverton Stakes, which is a listed class one, over 1 mile, 2 furlongs, where the betting reads Enfajar 4-1, Hartum 7-1, Sons and Lovers 8-1, King's Gambit 9-1, Military Order 9-1, Accurial Secret 10-1, Torito 11-1, Liberty Lane 12-1, Haunted Dream 12-1, Ambient Friendly 18-1, Maidan 20-1, Garlen 25-1, Doha 28-1, Phantom Flight 33-1, Check and Challenge 33-1, and Passion and Glory 50-1. Going through some stats and trends for the Wolverton. So I think a centre draw looks to be the favoured place to be positioned. 9 of the last 12 winners were aged 4 or 5. Again, favourites don't have a good record in this. 8 of the last 12 winners ran in the last 56 days. 10 of the last 12 winners were rated 105 plus. 11 of the last 12 winners have had 2 runs over 10 furlongs. 11 of the last 12 winners have had 7 flat runs. Going through them stats and trends, again, another one at a big price stood out to me, and it's the Joseph O'Brien trained Garlen, who fits all those stats and trends. He's won over the distance. I think he's ideally positioned with a centre draw, and looking back at his, he's been running in Maidan since the start of the year. Then he's had 2 previous runs in group races at the Curra, where the first one in April, where he beat Jan Brogel, the Aidan O'Brien horse, and he also beat Sons and Lovers, who's going to be reopposing in this race. Also beat Tower of London. Jan Brogel has already franked that form. And the other run in the Curra was the Moorbridge Stakes, which is a Group 2, over the distance, which was won by Los Angeles with White Birch in second, where that day finished ahead behind Sons and Lovers, who again reopposing today. But I think out of the Joseph O'Brien horses, this is the one that the stable jockey's on, Dylan Brown McMonagall, and this is the one that I think is a good tentative selection, 25-1. That's the one that I'm going to be playing against the field. Moving on to the last race of the day, which is a 6.10, the Copper Horse Stakes, which is a handicap, class 2, over 1.6, where the betting reads French Master 5-2, Charles 4-1, Cabello de Mar 6-1, Papano 9-1, My Mate Muzzy 14-1, Aeronautic 14-1, Champagne Prince 14-1, Jesse Evans 16-1, Barnso 16-1, Fairbanks 18-1, Lavender Hill Mob 20-1, Samoy 22-1, Endless Victory 25-1, Real Dream 28-1, Lufkville 33-1, Crypto Force 33-1, Pridwen 33-1, HMS President 40-1, and Crystal Flyer 50-1. The Copper Horse has only been running for the last 5 years, so it's a pretty new race. There isn't many stats and trends for the race, in all fairness, but I've managed to come up with a couple of things. Again, I think a centre draw is favoured. 3 of the last 5 winners were 6-year-olds. 2 of the last 5 winners were trained by Willie Mullins. And 4 of the last 5 winners were rated between 99 and 101, which really narrows it down quite far. Using those stats and trends, you'd probably think, let's go straight to the Willie Mullins horses. I've looked straight through the Willie Mullins battalion. Charles is obviously the pick of Ryan Moore. He's the one that looks to be the favoured one. In all fairness, he could be anything. He could go and win this quite easily. But he wouldn't be for me. Big field handicap at Royal Ascot on good to firm. And we're dealing with a horse that's had six career starts in his life. 6 career starts in his life. 4 of those that have been on the flat. 2 were on the all weather, which he won. 2 were on heavy ground, which he won one and finished second. So he has a quite a good flat record, but it's on heavy ground. He's had two starts over hurdles for Willie Mullins. The first one where he beat Holy Sea by a length and a quarter in a maiden hurdle at Nace over 2 miles. And then he ran in the Triumph where he was beaten 52 lengths by Pony Ross. I just think at 4-1, backing a horse at 4-1, who's had 6 career starts in his career, all of those have been on soft and heavy ground, it wouldn't be for me. I'd prefer to back something at a bigger price, something that's more battle hardened, it's got form on the ground, and the two that fit the bill for me are, firstly, the Gordon Elliott trained Samoy. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's spelled S-A-M-U-I, who's going to be ridden by Colin Keane, which is a notable jockey booking. Fits that. He just fits outside the rating. He's rated 102. So he's virtually in that rating between 99 and 101. He's got a just outside centre draw. I just think this horse is, I don't know whether he's just a nearly horse or whether he's just, there must be a target somewhere down the line with this horse, because I think he's well handicapped and he's gonna win something one day. I'm hoping it's going to be this at 22-1. Gordon Elliott, he's no mug, and he's definitely not a stranger to a handicap. Whether this has been the plan with the horse, or whether It's just whether it's just fell into this category, and he's one that Gordon Elliott's just chucking in. Who knows? Colin Keane takes the ride, which caught my eye. The form, really, he's got some good form over hurdles. Beat Jazzy Matty, who won the Grand Annual at the Cheltenham Festival. There's bits and bobs of form about. He was obviously running over hurdles in the jump season. And then after the jump season, it looks like he's had a pipe opener at Down Royal on the flat. And then here he is now at Royal Ascot. At 22-1, I'm inclined to have a couple of quid each way on him, just because he fits the bill of the stats and trends I've got. And yeah, jockey bookings okay, and it's Gordon Elliott. And then there's another one called Real Dream, which is 28-1, which has been backed in from 40-1 into 28-1. Real Dream is from the Ian Williams yard, so he's a course and distance winner. Again, fits the description of being a six-year-old, and he's rated 101, which fits in with the 99-101. And Real Dream, trainer form would probably be a little bit of a worry. He's hardly setting the world on fire at the moment, Ian Williams, but sometimes you have to look past trainer form. And the interesting thing with this one is that this horse was with Michael Stout last season, and he's moved to Ian Williams, and Ian Williams is a brilliant target trainer, and he can definitely get one ready for the day. And whether this has been the plan for Real Dream, we're going to find out tomorrow. He's had two runarounds, finishing. He's been well beat last time out. He's had a run on the all weather. He was only beaten two lengths by finishing behind Tia Macias Fox and Ambient Amigo. In quite a deep handicap on the all weather. And with both of these, really, they're both good things. It's more really me reading between the lines and trying to fish out anything that potentially could be a bit of a handicap plot. And these two definitely fit the bill. They fit the category of previous winners of the race. And yeah, I think they're both interesting at 22-1 and 28-1. And anyone that's looking to have a couple of quid on a few big price handicappers, I'd advise those two. I could give you nothing but negatives about the favourite, Charles. French Master. First time blinkers. So that's what I've come down on for day one, really. My strongest bet is Rosalian. That's my main bet of the day, really. Everything else, it's pretty much reading between the lines and trying to come up with something that's not the obvious. And that's the way I think that you sort of need to approach these sort of festivals.
because it's always easy to just go with the favourites. And I just think going with the favourites all the time at these type of festivals and that, you're most likely going to get your fingers burnt. But yeah, from the work I've put in, this is what I've come down on. There was a few more stats that I have that I'm going to give you before I end the podcast. So on Tuesday, the 17th of June, jockeys with rides at today's meeting that have a 15% or greater strike rate in the last month. So these are jockeys that have been doing well in the last month and have good strike rates. No surprise to see Ryan Moore at the top. So from his last 48 rides, he's had 16 winners. Ryan Moore's currently operating at 33.3%. In second, Oisin Murphy, from 107 rides, he's had 33 winners, which is quite impressive, 30.8%. William Buick, from 63 rides, he's had 18 winners, 28.6%. Silvestre de Souza, from 69 rides, he's had 14 winners, 20.3%. Dylan Brown McMonagall, from 68 rides, he's had 13 winners, 19.1%. Christoph Simeon, from 63 rides, he's had 12 wins, 19%. Billy Lucknan, 97 rides, 17 wins, 17.5%. Kieran Schumark, 54 rides, 9 wins, 16.7%. Mikael Barcelona, 92 rides, 15 wins, 16.3%. And Wayne Lorden, 53 rides, 8 wins, 15.1%. So those are the jockeys that are going well at the moment. Four jockeys may be worth avoiding. So you've got Hugh Horgan. It's been 48 days since he last rode a winner. Luke McAteer, 26 days since he last had a winner. Billy Lee, 25 days since he last had a winner. And Declan McDonoghue, 23 days since his last winner. Trainers at today's meeting that have a 15% or greater strike rate in the last month. Willie Mullins, 52 runners, 20 winners, 38.5%. Charlie Appleby, 37 runners, 14 winners, 37.8%. Aidan O'Brien, 69 runners, 19 winners, 27.5%. John Gosden, 72 runners, 19 winners, 26.4%. James Owen, 102 runners, 26 winners, 25.5%. Andrew Bolden, 125 runners, 28 winners, 22.4%. Hugo Palmer, 52 runners, 11 winners, 21.2%. Gordon Elliott, 83 runners, 17 winners, 20.5%. Ed Walker, 56 runners, 11 winners, 19%. Alan King, 31 runners, 6 winners, 19%. George Bowie, 52 runners, 10 winners, 19%. Gavin Cromwell, 79 runners, 15 winners, 19%. Roger Varian, 67 runners, 12 winners, 17%. Johnny Portman, 41 runners, 7 winners, 17%. Simon and Ed Crisford, 54 runners, 9 winners, 16%. Richard Hannon, 114 runners, 18 winners, 15%. William Haggis, 102 runners, 16 winners, 15%. Cole Burke, 84 runners, 13 winners, 15%. Richard Hughes, 58 runners, 9 winners, 15%. Harry Eustace, 39 runners, 6 winners, 15%. Charlie Johnston, 112 runners, 17 winners, 15%. Those are the trainers to keep on the right side of. Trainers to avoid. Richard Spencer, 27 days since his last winner. N. Lapini, 27 days since his last winner. Jessica Harrington, 16 days since her last winner. Demarnain from overseas, 15 days since his last winner. C. Maha, who I think is also overseas, 14 days since his last winner. Top jockeys at Ascot over the last 5 years. I'm just going to give the name. I'm not going to give them the strike rates. So, no surprise, Ryan Moore, William Buick, Jim Crowley, Oshie Murphy, Tom Marquand, Holly Doyle, James Doyle, Dave Probert, Kieran Schumacher, Russell Ryan, Kieran Fallon, David Egan, Joe Fanning, Billy Lochnan, Hector Crouch, Callum Shepherd, Luke Morris, Robert Avlin, Sean Levy and Clifford Lee. Top Ascot trainers, John Gosden, William Haggis, Andrew Bolden, Roger Varian, Charlie Appleby, Aidan O'Brien, Ed Walker, Richard Hannon, Cole Burke, Ralph Beckett, Clive Cox, Saeed Bin Sarur, Archie Watson, Alan King, Kevin Ryan, Jess Carrington, Roger Teal, Ian Williams, Jane Chappell Hoyam, and Brian Meehan. Beaten favourites last time out. Dancing Geminis, Yasser, Rumstar, Asterius, Pony Ross, Reaching High, Saturn, Hartem. A few negatives for those runners. And I'm going to finish with horses that are wearing first-time headgear. Cairo wears a first-time visor. Coudoir, first-time tongue strap. Tardej, first-time cheek pieces. Jassour, first-time hood. Asphora, first-time blinkers. Align the Stars, first-time cheek pieces. Dawn Rising, first-time tongue strap. Woot City, first-time cheek pieces. Torito, first-time cheek pieces. French Master, first-time blinkers. And that's all the information I've got to give you. Thanks for listening. Hopefully there's a good first day for us there. And I've put you on some winners. Fingers crossed, mainly, that Rosalian goes and gets it done. He's the main play of day one for me. Most importantly, enjoy the week. And I'll be back tomorrow with day two.
They approach the final furlong. Tati Bogle, Mitch Mullen on the near side, Prince of India, and Marco Gianni now beginning to serve it up to him, the favourite. Tati Bogle, though, not going down easily. This is going to be tight. Tati Bogle and Prince of India. Oh, he's got there. Prince of India. Cozily.
Cozily into the final furlong and Raining Prophet now challenging Birkenhead for the lead. It is Raining Prophet, the far side of Birkenhead. The two last time out winners. One of them's going to win again. It might well be Raining Prophet. Raining Prophet moves away by a length and a half. Raining Prophet goes on to win this race again. Won it 2 years ago and lands it once more, beating Birkenhead High Opinion and across to the far side between the sticks.
Land Rosario challenging and edging ahead. Navy Waters challenging on the outside of this trio moving ahead. But Alana Azario, Colin Keane in the lead by a couple of lengths. Staying on in second, Navy Waters as they go to the line. Alana Azario on the far side holds on.
Next is World of Darcy, followed by Danger Alert, and now they've only got a furlong and a half to go, and Abbey Heights trying to dig in. Lunging towards the near side is Zero Carbon. Over on the far side, Expert Agent still with every chance. La Quinto begins to stay on from a long way back, but it is still Abbey Heights who has got the lead. Another 100 yards to go. Abbey Heights and Jim Crowley out in front. Abbey Heights wins. Tight second, close between Zero Carbon and Expert Agent.